Granny now took every opportunity to visit the travelling theatre that came to Lancre and sat bolt upright in the front row of every performance, staring fiercely. Even honest Punch and Judy men found her sitting among the children, snapping things like, "'Tain't so!' and "'Is that any way to behave?' As a result, Lancre was becoming known throughout the Stowe Plains as a really tough gig. But what she wanted wasn't important. Like it or not, witches are drawn to the edge of things, where two states collide. They feel the pull of doors, circumferences, boundaries, gates, mirrors, masks, and stages. Breakfast was served in the Opera House's refectory at 9:30. Actors were not known for their habit of early rising. Agnes started to fall forward into her eggs and bacon and stopped herself just in time. "Good morning!" Christine sat down with a tray on which was, Agnes was not surprised to see, a plate holding one stick of celery, one raisin, and about a spoonful of milk. She leaned towards Agnes, and her face very briefly expressed some concern.
"Are you all right? You look a little peaky."
Agnes caught herself in mid-snore.
"Oh, I'm fine," she said, "just a bit tired."
"Oh, good."
This exchange having exhausted her higher mental processes, Christine went back to operating on automatic.
"Do you like my new dress?" she exclaimed. "Isn't it fetching?"
Agnes looked at it.
"Yes," she said. "Very white, very lacy, very figure-hugging."
"And do you know what?"
"No, what?"
"I already have a secret admirer. Isn't that thrilling? All the great singers have them, you know."
"A secret admirer?"
"Yes. This dress. It arrived at the stage door just now. Isn't that exciting?"
"Amazing," said Agnes glumly. "And it's not as if you've even sung. Who's it from?"
"He didn't say, of course. It has to be a secret admirer. He'll probably want to send me flowers and drink champagne out of my shoe."
"Really?" Agnes made a face. "Do people do that?"
"It's traditional."
Christine, boiling over with cheerfulness, had some to share.
"You look very tired," she said.
Her hand went to her mouth.
"Ooh, we swapped rooms, didn't we? I was so silly. And you know," she added with that look of half-empty cunning that was the nearest she came to guile, "I could have sworn I heard singing in the night. Someone trying scales and things."
Agnes had been brought up to tell the truth. She knew she should say, "I'm sorry, I appear to have got your life by mistake. There seems to have been a bit of confusion." But, she decided, she'd also been brought up to do what she was told, not to put herself first, to be respectful to her elders, and to use no swear word stronger than poot. She could borrow a more interesting future just for a night or two. She could give it up any time she liked.
"You know, that's funny," she said, "because I'm right next door to you, and I didn't."
"Oh, well, that's all right, then."
Agnes stared at the tiny meal on Christine's tray.
"Is that all you're having for breakfast?"
"Oh, yes. I can just blow up like a balloon, dear. It's lucky for you. You can eat anything. Don't forget it's practice in 30 minutes.
And she skipped off. She's got a head full of air, Agnes thought. I'm sure she doesn't mean to say anything hurtful. But deep inside her, Perdita X Dream thought a rude word. Mrs. Plinge took her broom out of the cleaning cupboard and turned.
"Walter!"
Her voice echoed around the empty stage.
"Walter!"
She tapped the broom handle warily. Walter had a routine. It had taken her years to train him into it. It wasn't like him not to be in the right place at the right time. She shook her head and started work. She could see it'd be a mop job later. It would probably be ages before they got rid of the smell of turpentine. Someone came walking across the stage. They were whistling. Mrs. Plinge was shocked.
"Mr. Pounder!"
The opera house's professional rat catcher stopped and lowered his struggling sack. Mr. Pounder wore an old opera hat to show that he was a cut above your normal rodent operative, and its brim was thick with wax and the old candle ends he used to light his way through the dark cellars. He'd worked among the rats so long that there was something rat-like about him now. His face seemed to be merely a rearward extension of his nose. His moustache was bristly, his front teeth were prominent. People found themselves looking for his tail.
"What's that, Mrs. Plinge?"
You know you mustn't whistle on stage. That's terrible bad luck.
Ah, well, it's cause of good luck, Mrs. Plinge. Oh, yes. If you did know what I'd know, you'd be a happy man, true. Of course, in your case, you'd be a happy woman, on account of you being a woman. Ah, some of the things I've seen, Mrs. Plinge.
Found gold.